So in high school, you were a star, I'll call you, in football.
Well, play football and basketball.
And basketball.
And track.
Okay.
Now, we didn't have an organized track team, but I may have told you this before. Eight of us guys went to the county track meet in Medford, which was 11 miles north, and just to watch. And we'd see, oh, what's his name out there from Waukeeta running? And one of the guys said, I can outrun him, and so on. So we went down as a group, about 10 of, 8 or 10 of us, and asked the manager of the track meet, said, can we enter some of these? Said, yeah. I said, you're from a high school, you sure can. So we entered in different things. We won the track meet barefooted in overalls.
And when would that have been?
That was probably, let's see, I was in the 1940.
Okay. And you were?
41.
I'm sorry, when did you graduate?
I graduated in 46.
All right. So you're probably about 16 years old when you did that.
Yeah.
Right.
I don't want to brag, but one thing I did, I could throw the ball. I won the football throw and the softball throw. We won both sprints. We won both relays. I mean, we just had some good kids.
But you were a good swimmer, too, apparently. You said
you
were on the swim team.
We at Southwood, we had swimming races my son was out there. He was a good swimmer.
Would you say then that you were the real athlete in the family? Others like to play
I'm not going to say that because I'll tell you, Merle and Eugene, the two oldest ones, they were tremendous athletes.
But they didn't pursue that as a career.
No.
And you did.
Right.
Right.
Now, Eugene, when he got out of the Navy in World War II, he came back to Oklahoma City and went into administration in Oklahoma City Public Schools.
Yeah.
And Merle came back and started his career in teaching at Waukeeta. He was a vocational agriculture teacher. And he taught there for years, and he went to UConn and taught there until he retired. And he won national awards in the agriculture part of it.
So you graduate in 1946,
uh-huh.
And then what do you do?
Well, I go to Panhandle A&M. Well, no, actually, I go to Tonkawa Junior College on a football scholarship. That's 16 miles east of Pond Creek. And
tell us, relating to Oklahoma City, where this would be.
This is about 100 miles north of Oklahoma City and then about 25 miles east.
Okay, so you went to Tonkawa on a football scholarship.
Yeah, 1946, yeah.
And how did that work out?
Well, it's fine. I went through my freshman year. I was a starter. Then my second year, I don't know. Like a kid, I got discouraged, and I quit midterm. Didn't tell the folks, but I moved in on a farm 9 miles west of Pond Creek and worked for Mr. and Mrs. Cohen and lived in their attic. And folks didn't know I was there yet. I was afraid to tell them.
Because, how would they keep track of you on a daily basis?
They don't. We didn't have communication back in those days. When I was at school, the only way we communicated was by letter.
Okay, so you were in Tonkawa and they weren't there. That was quite a few miles away.
Uh-huh.
All right, so then you moved in and for the rest of that year then?
Yeah, and so I was out there, and I was putting up hay and working just from daylight to dark, and I was staying in their upstairs room. I remember this, and one night after I took my shower and went laid on the bed, I asked the Lord. I said, Lord, is this the way my life is going to be, working hard like this all my life for somebody else? Well, the next day, I'm out putting up hay, baled hay, and my old buddy that I went to play football with at Tonkawa. He lived in the country there west of Pond Creek, and he drove his old 36 out there on the field. And my nickname was Barney, like my father's name was. And he said, Barney, you want to go play football at Panhandle? And I said, Lloyd, I don't know where you're talking about, but the answer is yes. And it was a Goodwill. So we loaded up in the old 36, picked two guys up from Ponca City, two guys from Perry, went out and tried out for football. Nate Watson was the coach. He played fullback for Oklahoma A&M. Tough coach. And it rained all the time we were there, so we had to work out in the gymnasium. Well, after about 3 days of that, he got tired of it, and we did too, and he called us in, about six or eight of us, and said, "I've seen enough." Says, "You all got scholarships."
And the name of that school was?
Panhandle A&M at Goodwell, Oklahoma. So we went back and finished out the summer, and then Lloyd and I and Balser from Ponca City and Jones from Perry and the Davis boys from Jet all got in this old 36 and went out there, and the rest is history.
36 Ford is what you were talking 36 about.
36 Chevy, yeah.
Oh, Chevy. Okay.
Yeah, four-door.
Yeah.
And another interesting story about that car, Lloyd, in the wintertime, would park it on the grass of the university's lawn over a steam vent, because we all had steam heat out there, to keep the water motor warm, so if somebody wanted to use it at midnight or 1 o'clock, they go out, it'll start. And he didn't have to drain the oil out of it to take it inside so it wouldn't freeze. Well, the president, Mr. Williams, called him in and said, "Lloyd, what would happen if everybody had a car here park on the grass like you do?" Well, he said, "Mr. Williams, let me tell you." He said, "There's a lot of guys here that doesn't have a car." And he said, "Sometimes, and some of them are married students." He said, "They may have a medical emergency, their wife or whatever, and have to take them to Guymon, which is 11 miles away." And he said, "My car's out there, it's gassed up, it's got the keys in it. And it's over that vent, and it's warm, the motor's warm, and it'll start right off." And he said, the president looked around, and he said, "Lloyd," he says, "that's a great idea. You just leave it there." That's small school for you.
Right. Your faith became important to you at an early age?
A very early age, because Grandpa, like I said, was a Methodist minister, and Mom grew up in that family. And she didn't push religion. I mean, she wasn't a fanatic about it at all. In fact, Merle and Dale and Eugene very seldom went to church. But I walked to church every single Sunday by myself. When we first moved in, I was just a little kid, and I stopped by a Tebow Drug and get me a Cherry Coke. And the only reason I could buy a Cherry Coke, because the preacher's son and I would go out on Saturday morning and hunt junk and sell it to the junk man. That was our spending money. Well, I would go in the church, get my program, go up the stairs. There was a little balcony up there that only held six people. And I was the only one up there, and I could sit behind my program and chew my bubble gum while the church process went on.
So that was your early internet, but your church and faith stayed with you the rest of your life.
Yes, yeah. And a lot of it had to do with Mom. Pop didn't darken the door of the church. The only time he went to church was Christmas Eve to get his sack of candy. That's the only time he ever set foot in a church. And they made him do that. He wanted to bring it out to the car to him, but they made him come in and get it, hoping that maybe it'll catch.
Well, that says something about you. Nobody was telling you to go to church, but something inside you as a young boy said, "I want to go to church."
That's right. And I'll have to say it has a lot to do with my mother and her bringing up, and her mother and father, Reverend Beale and Bessie, my grandmother.